Anchasuna vinodakrit. Now we'll read the word by word translation. Dehaha, body. Rataha, chariot. Tu, but. Indriya, the knowledge, acquiring senses. Ashvaha, the horses. Samvatsara, total years. Rayaha, duration of life. Agatiha, without advancing. Dvi, two. Karma, activities. Chakraha, wheels. Three. Guna, modes of nature. Dvajaha, flags. Pancha, five. Asu, life heirs. Banduraha, bondage. Manaha, the mind. Rasmiha, rope. Buddhi, intelligence. Sutaha, chariot driver. Hrit, heart. Nidaha, sitting place. Dvandva, duality. Kubaraha, the posts for harness. Pancha, five. Indriya artha, sense objects. Prakeshapaha, weapons. Sapta, seven. Dhatu, elements. Varutakaha, coverings. Akutihi, attempts of the five working senses. Vikramaha, prowess or process. Bayaha, external. Mriga Trishnam, false aspiration. Pradavati, runs after. Ekadasha, 11. Indriya, senses. Chamuhu, soldiers. Pancha, 5. Shuna, envy. Vinoda, pleasure. Krit, doing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narada Muni continued, what I referred to as the chariot was in actuality the body. The senses are the horses that pull the chariot. As time passes, year after year, these horses run without obstruction, but in fact they make no progress. Pious and impious activities are the two wheels of the chariot. The three modes of material nature are the chariot's flags. The five types of air, life air, constitute the living entity's bondage, and the mind is considered to be the rope. Intelligence is the chariot driver. The heart is the sitting place in the chariot. And the dualities of life, such as pleasure and pain, are the knotting place. The seven elements are the coverings of the chariot, and the working senses are the five eternal processes. The 11 senses are the soldiers. Being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity seated on the chariot hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment, life after life. Purport. The entanglement of the living entity in sense enjoyment is very nicely explained in these verses. The word samvatsara, meaning the progress of time, is significant. Day after day, week after week, fortnight after fortnight, month after month, year after year, the living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. The chariot rests on the two wheels, which are pious and impious activities. The living entity attains a certain position in life in a particular type of body according to his pious and impious activities. But his transmigration into different bodies should not be taken as progress. Real progress is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam yeti so Arjuna. One makes real progress when he does not have to take another material body. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 19.138, Eita Brahmandabari Ananta Jivagana Chaurasi Laksha Yonite Karaya Brahmana. The living entity is wandering throughout the entire universe and taking different birth in different species on different planets. Thus, he moves up and down, but that is not real progress. Real progress is getting out of this material world altogether. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abrahma Bhuvanani Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna Mam Upetyatu Kaunteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Even if one is promoted to Brahmaloka, the highest planet in the universe, he has to come down again to the lower planetary systems. Thus, he is wandering up and down perpetually under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Being illusioned, he thinks he is making progress. He is like an airplane circling the earth day and night, incapable of leaving the earth's gravitational field. Factually, there is no progress because the airplane is conditioned by the earth's gravity. Just as a king is seated on a chariot, the living entity is seated in the body. The sitting place is the heart, and the living entity sits there and engages in the struggle for existence, which goes on without progress perpetually. In the words of Narottam Das Thakur, Karma Kanda Jnana Kanda Kevala Vishera Bhanda Amrita Baliya Eba Kaya Nana Yoni Sada Pire Kadaraya Bhakshana Kare Tara Janma Adaha Pate Yaya. The living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of the fruitive activity and mental speculation and simply gets a different type of body life after life. He eats all kinds of nonsense and is condemned by his activities of sense enjoyment. If one really wants to progress in life, he must give up the ways of karma kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and mental speculation. Being fixed in Krishna consciousness, one can become free from the entanglement of birth and death and the vain struggle for existence. In these verses, the words mriga trishnam pradhavati are very significant because the living entity is influenced by the thirst for sense enjoyment. He is like a deer that goes to the desert to search out for water. In a desert, an animal simply searches in vain for water. Of course, there is no water in the desert, and the animal simply sacrifices his life in an attempt to find it. Everyone is planning for fruitive happiness, for future happiness, thinking that somehow or the other, if he can reach a certain point, he will be happy. In actuality, however, when he comes to that point, he sees that there is no happiness. He then plans to go further and further to another point. This is called Mriga Trishna, and its basis is sense enjoyment in this material world. Om Agnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakyam Tadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swak Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ukam karoti vachalam pankam langayate girim yat krupatam aham vande shri gurum dinakaranam. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for giving me this opportunity to talk on Srimad Bhagavatam on this exalted subject today. I remember last time when I was here, I spoke on the previous chapter. And again, we spoke about Puranjana and how Puranjana became Puranjani. Now I am going into the next version of this given by Sri Narada Muni. This Puranjana, Puranjani is a very, very instructive chapter for all of us. In fact, we should read this every day to understand what is going to happen to us, to know the real meaning of life. If all of us know that what we think, what is our consciousness every second, because we don't know when we will leave our body. We do not know when death is going to strike us and take away the soul from this body. At that time, the consciousness alone will travel with the soul. So our consciousness has to be trained to make sure that we go back to Krishna and we don't come back to the, don't return to this material world. This verse very clearly describes that all the positions that we are attaining. Prabhu, am I fast? Should I slow down? Am I fast? All the positions that we are attaining today is absolutely useless. Today, we can be, you know, in a very high position, very rich, very high position in, okay, maybe controlling people, controlling the various departments in the government. We can be very powerful controlling a big business. We could be controlling many people, but that position is completely temporary. I remember my Guru Maharaj's instructions once. In some management issue, I said, no, this is what I did, this is what I did. So my Guru Maharaj called me and said, Sridham, please remember, all these designations are temporary. When you go to the spiritual world, these designations does not mean anything. So please understand, realize that your position in the spiritual world is just your love for Krishna. That's all. All the designations here is useless. Give up all this. So it's very important for us to remember that. And even when we leave this body and go to another planet in the 14 planetary system, in the planetary system, we will still come back. That is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, wherever you go, you will come back here. So you should always remember me and come back to me. That is the only instruction that we have to take to heart. All other instructions are aside. He is just preparing us for this in Bhagavad Gita. You just go to 1866 and then he says, Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami ma suchaha. He says, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about loss of something, of gain of something. What will happen? What will not happen? What if somebody thinks something about me? Nothing. You don't have to worry about anything. Just surrender to me and I will take care of you. And this is an assurance by the Supreme Lord for us. Who else do we have to trust in this world? We trust so many people. We trust, we say, okay, I was cheated by this person. I trusted him so much. I trusted her so much. But then they let me down. No, we put our trust in the wrong person. And that is why we lose faith in these things. But we should put our trust, we should turn our focus to the Supreme Lord, who assures us that whatever you do, just abandon all those things and just surrender to me and I will take care of you. What else do we need in life? So we should be very, very careful in what we are doing. And these three verses talk about senses, how we engage our sense gratification. This whole chapter, these few chapters that are there, Narada Muni is explaining to King Prasena Bharat about real purpose of life, what we should do. He is telling the king that you should give up all these activities. These are of no use. And then he explains the story of Puranjana, how Puranjana at the time of leaving the body thinks of his wife and then attains the body of Puranjani. He gets a female body and then goes through this cycle again. So when King Prachinabharisat could not understand this allegory that Narada Muni explained, he asks him to explain it a little more clearly. And this chapter 29, explains this. And now Narada Muni explains each of his the characters that were there. He explains what they mean in relation to King Prachinabharat. It is this chapter also explains us how we should communicate. Narada Muni teaches by example. And I think I remember I spoke on this in my last class here in this. He teaches us by example how we should approach the subject of to different people. As a king, if he goes and tells him directly that you give up all these things, the king will not accept it because he is in a different position. So he explains by example and then slowly converts his mind to bring him to the proper level of understanding. These are some of the things that we have to learn from Narada Muni's teachings here. Now, going back to, these verses are talking about senses, sense objects. Now, there are five sense objects that we have. What are the sense objects that are there every day which we encounter, which we are using eyes. And then we have nose for smell, eyes for seeing, nose for smelling. Then we have the ears where we hear. Then your tongue where we taste, we talk, we do all these things. And then the skin, which is your touch perception. Now these five senses, there are some examples given. These senses, if they are not properly guided, the senses cannot become inactive. Many people think that I don't want to commit any sin. I don't want to do anything wrong. So I will go to some mountain and I will sit down there, close my eyes, and then just meditate. But this is the story where a Brahmana and a prostitute was staying in opposite houses. While the Brahmana, while he was performing his daily religious activities, he was always thinking about what the prostitute would be doing. She would be dressing up this, she would be wearing this dress. His mind was always meditating on what she was doing. And the prostitute, on the other hand, was always thinking about the Brahmana. He would now get up, he would be chanting his Gayatri, he would be worshipping, he would be bathing the deities, he would be dressing up the deities. Her thoughts were all absorbed in that. And finally, when they left the body, then both of them, then we know where the destination is going to be. The Brahmana did not definitely go back to Godhead. This reminds me of a small joke. In India, I think most of you have gone to India. Have you traveled in that auto rickshaws? You must have traveled. Now, once a priest and an auto rickshaw driver both died at the same time, and they went above. So then the gatekeeper there, he saw their details and told the priest, "Now you will go to hell." And he told the auto rickshaw driver, "You will go to heaven." And then the priest got terribly upset. He said, "Come on. I have been preaching the God's name. I have been preaching to everybody throughout my life. I have sacrificed my life for preaching the God's name. And you're telling me that I have to go to hell." And this person who has not preached, he has not uttered the God's name even once in his life, is going to heaven. How is this? This is injustice. I cannot tolerate this. He said, okay. The gatekeeper said, "Wait, I will tell you. According to what I have, you have been preaching throughout your life. But while you were preaching, everybody in the class was sleeping. They did not think about God. They were only sleeping. Jai Shri Panchatattva Bhagavan ki jai. They were only sleeping, and you did not attract them to Krishna or to God. So that is why you are going to hell." But this auto driver, whenever he was driving in the roads in India, every passenger that he carried was so afraid, they started praying to Krishna. They started praying for their life. And so they remembered Krishna whenever he traveled. So he went back to heaven. So like that, the consciousness is very, very important for us to go back. And these five senses I was just talking about. Now, we give examples of how each of these senses can distract us. Now, if you take the eyes, eyes is the light. Now, there is an insect which gets attracted to light. When there is light, it gets attracted to that. I don't know if you are familiar with this insect here. It generally comes during the rainy season. It is born in the morning, and then by evening, it is dead. The life cycle of that insect is only one day. And then it gets attracted to the light bulb. Wherever there is light, it will go there, or fire. If there is no electrical bulb, it gets attracted to the fire. When the body touches the fire, it leaves the body. That is how it leaves. So just by the sight, the light, this insect leaves its body. Okay, now coming to nose, smell of the flower. There are flowers which will bloom in the morning, and in the night the petals will close. And the bee gets attracted to the fragrance of this flower. It goes inside, it sits on the inside the flower, and it is completely mesmerized by the smell of the flower, that it just forgets the whole world. And then by evening, the petals close. And when it closes, the bee cannot breathe, and it leaves its body there. This is the danger of smell, getting attracted to the smell there. The bee loses its body. Then you have the ears. The example is of a deer. You know, the hunters, this I'm talking about during the Bhagavatam times, when they used to use bow and arrow, not the guns. He will make a peculiar, the hunter makes a peculiar kind of noise. And then immediately the deer gets attracted to that noise, thinking that there is a deer of the opposite sex there, and it comes out of its hiding. And immediately the hunter shoots his arrow, and the deer will die. So because of it gets attracted to the sound there, the deer loses its body. Then tongue. We all know the example of how fishing is done. Fish, they get attracted to the food or whatever worms that are there, and then comes to catch that food and opens its mouth wide open, that the hook goes inside, and then it gets killed. Because of the tongue, it loses its life. And then you have the touch perception. In India, how they catch elephants, wild elephants in the forest. They dig a big pit around, and they cover it with leaves. They will put tree branches and then cover it with leaves. And then they have a trained she-elephant. And the elephant will be sent to lure this he-elephant and then come. So when the elephant gets attracted to this female elephant and then starts running, then the female elephant will come. But when it comes just near the pit, it will take a deviation and go. And the male elephant which comes will just fall into the pit. And then once it goes into the pit, then it is starved. They will not give the food to it for some time. They will starve it. They will make sure that it completely succumbs or surrenders to the trainer. And then slowly they will remove it out of the pit and then give it training. And then it becomes a domestic elephant. So here, just for the attraction of the female elephant, for the touch, for the skin perception, the elephant comes and then loses its freedom and then becomes a tamed domestic animal. Now, with each of just one sensed object, all these animals or insects that I have spoken have lost their life. Now, every day, we are encountering five, all these five senses are with us. How much more dangerous position that we should be in today. We are every day, padam, padam, vipadam. First, when I learnt this, padam, padam, vipadam, I said, okay, every step, so you don't go out of the building, you are safe. But that is not this one. These senses that we have, all these five senses are there waiting to distract us. And we have to make sure that we don't get distracted and lose our life, precious life, like these animals, but then divert these senses. Now, so we cannot make the senses inactive. We have to divert their attention to something which is more relishable than what is existing. Like a child, when the child cries, you cannot stop. The more you try to hit the child or try to scold the child will cry and you cannot control. So to distract the attention, what do? You give them a chocolate or you give them a toy, and then the child forgets whatever they were crying for and then gets attracted to this. Similarly, our job is to make sure that we turn our senses. We have to give something higher, something which gives more pleasure should be given to these senses. So our eyes should be used to have darshan of the Supreme Lord. Their lordships have descended here so mercifully and so beautifully dressing them up, you know, seeing them with in different garments, in different ornaments, seeing them in different angle. You know, these should give the pleasure, and these are the highest form of pleasure. And we should train our eyes only for these kind of pleasures. And then our ears should be trained to hear Krishna Katha. These which are supreme, that which will never diminish. Have we ever heard of any corrections to Bhagavad Gita? 5,000 years back, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But today, you take any book, there will be hundreds of corrections, addendum and corrections and things like that coming out for every book. But in Bhagavad Gita, nothing. Whatever Krishna spoke remains true even today. There are no corrections because it comes from the Supreme Lord. So we have to hear these things, what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. We have to understand every word of what he spoke and the importance of it. Understand that and implement that in our life. Then we will constantly remain in Krishna consciousness. And when death strikes us, we don't know when, but when death comes and when it is time for us to leave the body, we will go back, you know, thinking of Krishna. And Krishna says, if you think of me at the time of death, you will attain me. Of this there is no doubt. All that we have to do is this. And then we use our nose for smelling flowers that are offered, incense that are offered to Krishna, to the deities. We have to smell that. We should enjoy the smell of these flowers when we get this. These flowers are not just flowers that have been plucked from the garden. They have been offered to the Supreme Lord, and the fragrance of these flowers increases when the Lord accepts these flowers. So when we offer it with love, Krishna accepts these flowers, and then the fragrance of these increases. And these are not just the mundane fragrance. When you smell this, it goes into your heart. It transcends, it gives you the intelligence. Krishna says, I give you the intelligence by which you come to me. So these flowers, when we smell, these go inside and work. It is like a medicine that is working inside. We have to do this. And then our tongue, two things. We have to chant, we have to eat prasadam. You don't have to starve, you don't have to fast all throughout the year and meditate. You just have to eat Krishna prasadam. The moment prasadam is offered with love to Krishna, he accepts it, and the entire prasadam, that is nivedyam that is being offered, becomes prasadam, and it becomes so nice, it starts working as a medicine inside, completely transforming our senses to get attracted to Krishna. And chanting is not just a mundane process of just some words that we are chanting. This chanting has come to us from the Supreme Lord himself. And so we have to take this process very, very seriously and make sure that we complete our chanting. We have to make sure that we eat only Krishna prasadam. And then, okay, so when we engage all the senses, the touch perception is your counting of the beads. When we touch the bead, I remember my Guru Maharaj, when I first met him, he gave me the beads and said, okay, you chant on this. I said, no, I'm used to chanting like this, at my fingers, counting this. He said, no, you will have a personal association. You hold the beads and count, you will get personal association. You will feel very personal about this. I did not understand it that time. Now I understand. The beads gives you a personal association. The moment you lift the beads with reverence, with respect, you will immediately start associating with the Lord. And you have to immediately think of all the pastimes of the Lord. Whatever you have heard, whatever you hear in the classes. And then get attracted to the Supreme Lord. Always think of him. That 2 hours of chanting that we do should be our time with Krishna. Nothing else in this world. We have 24 hours Krishna has given us. But these 2 hours should be exclusively for our relationship with Krishna. We spend time with so many people in the world, but we should use that only for Krishna. These 2 hours, no other thought. Whatever thought comes, just kick them away and focus on Krishna. And when we do that, then our attraction for Krishna, our remembrance of Krishna, our consciousness will increase and we will think of Krishna 24 hours. And that is why Prabhupada named this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He did not say Krishna prayers for praying to Krishna. He just called it as Krishna Consciousness. That means we should be conscious 24 hours a day. You know, Prabhupada's examples and this one are something which are completely out of this world phenomenon. In this purport, he gives a very nice example of an aeroplane which goes above, but it is never out of the control of the gravitational force. You know, I mean, I was just meditating, thinking only on this line yesterday night when I read this verse. I was just thinking, meditating on this particular verse, line. How Prabhupada is able to give these kind of examples. We are used to so many vehicles which we see, but it is only the aeroplane that leaves the earth, the physical contact with the earth, and then moves, either earth or water, and then moves above the air. But at no point of time, although it is moving from one place to another, it leaves the earth and goes above, it is never out of the gravitational strength. It is always at any time, I mean, the gravitational pull is always working on the aeroplane. Similarly on us, all this Maya is always working, trying to hit us from all the sides, trying to create disturbance. And we should refine. We are all born in ignorance, agreed. But we have to use this opportunity that we have got and then turn our consciousness, completely change our mind, our consciousness to think of Krishna. And the result that he has promised is what we should always think of. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami masuchara. He says, you will come back to me. So we just have to think about that. We have to understand what it means and then focus our attention to that. And that is what here this word, these three verses talk more about the senses. And I thought I would just touch on these things. If I have said anything wrong or offensive or which is not in the, as per the Vaishnava Thakur's teachings, please forgive me. And I'll stop now. I'm supposed to stop at 8:45. It is 8:50. Are there any comments? Prabhu. Questions? Ananta Prabhu is there.
you said about these 2 hours of chanting and our beats being dedicated exclusively to Krishna. I mean, sometimes when we chant, some devotees approach us and they want to talk or associate. And if we tell them that we want to chant and reject their association, they get hurt or offended.
Yes.
How should we act in this situation?
Okay. Whatever we do, we still have our 2 hours to complete 16 rounds. You will still have 2 hours for yourself. So, okay, we have to nicely tell the devotees, of course, without offending. And another devotee approaching us generally would be if there is something, if it is very important. Otherwise, generally devotees do not come to talk. Or if they are talking something mundane, you can always tell them that we can discuss this after we finish the chanting. But if there is something that is important and they just want to pass on the message, we just hear that. But then again, we switch back into the normal chanting, the consciousness there. And this 2 hours of chanting will still not go away. Prabhupada has made it mandatory for all of us to chant 16 rounds. And this 16 rounds will give you 2 hours with Krishna. That 2 hours, we should not allow anyone to take it away. It need not be continuously 2 hours. But we should have the 2 hours exclusively with Krishna.
Is that okay, Prabhu? Anything else?
are no questions.